Nadia, welcome to SBS Radio's Armenian program.
Thank you.
Nadia, could you talk about your background and your connection with the Armenians?
Ah, certainly. This goes a long way back. My mother was an Armenian, and during the Second World War, she met my father, who was a New Zealand soldier serving in Egypt. They fell in love, and he married her and took her back to New Zealand. But in those days, New Zealand was a rather xenophobic country, to say the least, and we were brought up to be rather British and told very little about our Armenian background or Armenian history. So I was always very curious about anything Armenian. And then there's a rather large gap. In 1985, my husband was posted to Singapore, and there I was very surprised to see this beautiful little Armenian church, the Church of St. Gregory the Illuminator, and of course Armenian Street. But when I asked people if they could tell me why Armenians came to Singapore or who the Armenians were in Singapore, I could really get very little information. So I decided to do some research on my own and find out about the community.
Nadia, could you give us some information about the book you are writing?
Yes, it's going to be, hopefully, a fairly comprehensive history of the Armenian community in Singapore, looking at where the Armenians came from, why they came to Singapore, what they were involved in Singapore, their social and business lives there, and eventually what happened to that community. But I'm also looking at the smaller, earlier communities in Penang and Malacca, because Singapore can't be looked at in isolation. It was part of a much larger trading diaspora.
How long are you researching your subject?
Oh, it seems forever. I actually started, it was about 1986, so I had about 2 years in Singapore working in the libraries there, and then my husband was sent back to Melbourne, and I'm still applying the finishing touches to the manuscript. I think with being so far away from Singapore and so distant from sources, plus work commitments and family commitments, it meant that I didn't have as much time to spend on my research as I had hoped. But it's getting there.
How do you start researching a community's background going back a couple of hundred years without a central archival system?
With great difficulty. Well, the first thing I did was to try and speak to some of the Armenians who were still living in Singapore in the mid-1980s. And one of them was very helpful, a dear old man called Mackie Martin, who at that stage was living in the parsonage, and he had quite a repertoire of stories about his family and the Armenian community, though some I later found were actually rather coloured up and based on hearsay. But from the names he gave me, I was able to work back and accumulate a short list of Armenian names. And from that, it was a matter of going back, looking through the old directories, and just the painstaking work of reading all the newspapers from about 1806 right up to the 1920s, and culling every single bit of information that dealt with Armenians. And from that, I was able to build up a picture of who was there, how long they were there, and what their interests were. There were also cemetery records, IGI records, Indian newspapers such as the Asiatic Register, official colonial office records, census returns, memoirs of old residents, and in fact there's an incredible amount of information, but it just takes an incredible amount of time.
And how much information there is in the newspapers about the Armenians in Singapore?
There's quite a lot. It's quite surprising, in fact, from about 1845, that's when the Straits Times started, which, by the way, was founded by an Armenian, there was not, I shouldn't imagine, there was one day or one edition went by without at least one reference to an Armenian, either in departures or arrivals, in advertisements, social gatherings, or economic news. For such a small community, they actually had a very large profile in the press.
During your research, Did you find any famous Armenians in Singapore?
Oh, yes. I guess the most famous and underrated, really, is Agnes Joachim. She was the lady who created the Vanda Miss Joachim orchid, which today is the national flower of Singapore. And she actually created this back in 1893, and the press was most ecstatic, complimenting her on this beautiful orchid which she'd spent years and years perfecting. But unfortunately, from about the 1970s, the theory is that a carpenter bee pollinated the Vanda Miss Joachim orchid, and all her glory has been taken from poor Agnes. So I feel very strongly that it's time that that credit be restored to her for her wonderful creation. Another famous Armenian that I alluded to was Catchick Moses, and indeed he founded the Straits Times newspaper in 1845, although he actually ran it for only 2 years before giving it up. Other famous Armenians will probably include the Sarkis brothers. In fact, to most people, the Sarkis brothers are synonymous with Raffles Hotel, which is synonymous with Singapore. And the Sarkis brothers not only founded Raffles, but they also founded the E&O Hotel in Penang. And younger brother Arshak was mostly involved with the Penang Hotel, while Tigran and Arviet ran the Raffles itself in Singapore. And probably the next most famous would be a lawyer, the brother of Agnes. His name was Joachim Joachim. He was a president of the Municipal Commissioners, a member of the Legislative Council, and he had the good fortune to marry the younger daughter of the American consul. So for a number of years, he was actually made deputy American consul in Singapore. The importance of the Armenians in early Singapore can be gauged by the fact that when the first Chamber of Commerce was founded in 1837, there was an Armenian, Isaac Zechariah, on the committee, he being the senior principal of one of the major Armenian firms. And again, you can see the importance of the Armenian community by the fact that in 1891, 2 out of the 8 municipal commissioners were Armenian. And that's a very high ratio, considering that the population of Singapore at that time was over 181,000, of which only 68 were Armenian, yet 1/4 of the municipal commissioners board were Armenian. It's really quite incredible. But I think those are the most famous ones in Singapore.
Did you find any trace of Armenians in Singapore besides the church?
Yes, there are a number of old gravestones which have been embedded in the memorial walls of the Fort Canning Cemetery. The church itself has a beautiful little garden of memories, which comprises a number of tombstones which have been rescued from the Bidadari Cemetery by an Armenian-American, Leon Pelyan. There's also Galveston Avenue, St. Martin's Drive, of course Armenian Street, and another building called Stamford House, which was built by the Armenian firm Stevens Paul in 1904. And I think those are the main bits of memorabilia left of the Armenians in Singapore.
Nadia, where the Armenians of Singapore came from originally?
That's an interesting question, because they actually didn't come from Armenia itself, despite what you may read in many of the so-called history books. The Singapore Armenians nearly all came from Julfa in Persia, and they were the descendants of some of the Armenians who had been banished there by Shah Abbas at the beginning of the 1600s. And when the situation in Persia became a little more difficult for them, some moved down to India, and others moved right down to the Philippines, the Dutch East Indies, and Malacca. And from there, some moved on to Singapore. Later on in the 19th century, most of the Armenians who came to Singapore came directly from Julfa. And there was a third minor wave after the Second World War, These Armenians were mainly from Indonesia, and they were fleeing before the Indonesian independence movement caught up with them. However, not very many of those Armenians remained in Singapore. Most moved on to Britain, the Netherlands, or the United States.
Do you know approximately how many Armenians lived in Singapore?
Between about 1819 and 1985, there'd probably be about 660 Armenians altogether. That would be including round about 100 half-Armenians and about 40 of who were actually quarter Armenian, but who were identified very strongly with the Armenian community. So the full-blooded Armenians during that time amounted to no more than about 520.
And what happened to the community?
Unfortunately, it was too small to be demographically sustainable, and it gradually just petered away. A lot of the problems were caused by intermarriage, particularly when Armenians married Roman Catholics and had to bring up the children as Catholics. Then the children themselves lost contact with the community, and then they themselves continued to marry out, and eventually they seemed to lose all interest in their Armenian origins. Another problem, of course, was immigration and, of course, death. And surprisingly, those that married, some tended to have very small families or no children at all. So if you take all those factors together, the community was almost doomed.
And what about the community in Malaysia?
The Armenians in Malaysia were a much smaller number. Some people feel they shouldn't be called a community because they were so few, although the press in Penang frequently referred to the Armenian community. In Penang itself, there were never more than probably 175 Armenians, with no more than 25 living in Penang at any one time. In fact, there was one major family, the Anthony family, who lived in Penang from about 1819 till the last descendant left in 1955. And in fact, there's still a firm in Penang called Anthony, A.A. Anthony and Sons. It's a highly respected stockbroking firm, and that was the original Anthony firm. There are two other families who are important in Penang, the Sarkis family, of course, from the E&O Hotel, and a Dr. Avatum, who was a very well-known physician in Penang from the 1880s till about 1915. Interestingly, there was an Armenian church there, also called the Church of St. Gregory the Illuminator, and it was built in 1822, though actually one wonders why, considering how few Armenians there were, and that church was pulled down in 1906 for some unknown reason. And the Armenians who had been buried in the church and in the church grounds were then reinterred in the Western Road Cemetery in 1937. Apart from in Penang, there used to be one or two Armenians who were trading in Malacca, and there's a very, very famous tombstone, that of Jacob Shamier. And this tombstone lies in the aisle of Christ's Church, and many people are familiar with sort of the plaintive cry of, "Tell me my country is free." But there actually never was an Armenian settlement in Malacca, though some people still maintain there was. Another interesting Armenian from Malaysia was Makatich Galistan. Unlike most Armenians, he wasn't a bit interested in trade, and instead he joined the army of the Sultan of Johor, soon rising to become its bandmaster. And the press in Singapore were very complimentary about the way he had improved the quality of music produced by the bandsmen. And not only that, but Makatich composed the state anthem of Johor.
Nadia, is there a link between Singapore Armenians and Australia?
Yes, there's a very interesting link. In 1853, soon after gold was discovered in Victoria, one of the Singapore Armenians, Gregory Galistan, decided that perhaps the time was right to establish a new Armenian settlement. And through his newspaper, which he printed in Singapore, just a small newspaper called Usam Nasar, or The Scholar, he managed to persuade about 12 Armenians from Singapore and Indonesia to come over to Melbourne. Unfortunately for Gregory, he only lasted 6 months in Melbourne because he died of dysentery in South Melbourne in 1854. Of his followers, Gregory Zachariah married an Irish girl, and probably his daughter Eliza was one of the first Armenians to be born in Melbourne. Tragically, his son, also named Gregory, who died in Melbourne in 1857, may have the dubious honour of being the second Armenian to have died in Melbourne. But one of Gregory Galliston's followers went back to Singapore, and once he was there, he began trading with Melbourne and also Sydney. The other link with Melbourne is that a lot of Australian horses were exported to Calcutta and onto Singapore, and of course they were carried in the Apcar line boats, namely the Aratun Apcar, the Armenia, and possibly the Catherine Apcar as well. Their boat Ararat also traded with Melbourne in the 1800s. Later on this century, there were two big multinational Armenian firms in Singapore, Stevens Paul and Edgar Brothers, and both of these firms imported flour, fruit, dairy produce, etc. from Melbourne. I suppose the other link to Australia, though it's not to Melbourne, was during the Second World War. A number of Armenians did manage to flee to Australia prior to the fall of Singapore, though most of them went to Perth. And after Armenians were released from internment in the prisoner of war camps and civilian internee camps, some of them came over to Sydney to recuperate before returning, albeit briefly, to Singapore and Indonesia.
Okay, Nadia, thanks very much for your information. Enjoy talking to you and wish you good luck.
Thank you very much. Thank you.